Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. This is one evening where I had the opportunity. Well, first of all, good evening, everybody. How's everyone doing? Amen. Amen. I had the opportunity this evening to live the message before I even finished my notes. Because somewhere around 6:15, I guess, I was winding up, I was in good shape, and I closed the file to look at something else and went to open the file and it was gone. G-O-N-E, gone. And I didn't panic. I said, okay, this has got to come back. And the file didn't. And I was like, okay, Lord, you're the teacher of the church. You gave it to me once. You got to give it to me again. That's all it is. You know, I said, it's the title of the message is Grace Under Fire. And it's like, your grace is still sufficient to me, for me. And it doesn't matter if the notes go. Because I don't know, whatever Microsoft did, it may have had access to my computer, but it didn't have access to my heart. Amen. And so if it's in my heart, I said, look, if the computer stops working, it's still going to come out. Because it's what God wants shared this evening. One of the things I want to share with you, because a couple of folks came to me in line Sunday and were telling me, you know, that homonyms can be words spelled differently and all these different things. Like I said, I'm just going by the research I did. So I did even deeper research because I like to be right. Not just because I want to be right. It's because I have influence over a lot of people. So if I'm wrong, people can get in trouble. Okay. So for that reason, I need to be right. Maybe that sounds better than I have to be right. I need to be right. And so I looked through a lot of sources concerning homonyms, and I found one that said that homonyms have this confusion among educators and students and everybody about homonyms. I didn't know. I never in my life knew this. They didn't teach it to me in school. They're homonyms, they're homophones, and they're homographs and heteronyms. And all of them get confused with homonyms, but they're different. Homonyms are words spelled and pronounced the same, but have multiple meanings. Those are homonyms. Homophones are words that are spelled differently but sound alike, like addition or addition. You know, I didn't give you a homonym, spruce. Spruce things up around here. Hey, that's a nice spruce tree. Okay. Then you have homographs and heteronyms. Those are words with the same spelling but have different pronunciations and different meanings. Like, in Israel, there's a desert. Or someone deserted me. Okay. And so you have all those different meanings. So what I said Sunday was accurate. But grace is a homonym. It's spelled the same. It's pronounced the same. And they're different meanings. It can be God's unmerited favor. It can be force that provides all the power and strength and things that's available to God that he makes available to us. It's a place. You go to the throne of grace. We also found out it's visible, that you can see it. And the reason you can find that all is because, as I heard someone say over here, grace is the person of Jesus Christ. You know, so it's all of those definitions, and we need to remember all of them as well. So I'm just going to go through just a little bit here before I get to where I really want to get to. I think I'm just going to go there. If we leave early, we leave early. But I just want to get there. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the grace of God, because some people think that God will, you know, you'll make him mad and he'll lift his grace. You know. No, he doesn't do that. What happens is, let me get to it in this set of notes. What happens is that the Bible tells us that God has given every man grace according to the measure of the gift that he gave you. All that means is that God gave you all the grace you need to do the work he's assigned you to do. That's all that means. And God is never going, we think God is going to give you an assignment, give you the grace, and somewhere along he's going to say, hey guys, watch this, and just lift his grace from you and watch you struggle. No, he's not going to do that. What happens is we do things that we were not assigned by God to do. And when we do that, the grace of God is not with us. And we're operating in our own strength. And we can go along for a while, but what happens ultimately is we run out of strength. And now we're a mess. And the first person we get upset with is God. God, you told me to do it. He said, that's not what I told you. Or we'll start out and we'll go a different direction. You know, how many of you know God doesn't always give us the path of least resistance? Okay. But we look for it. And we'll say, oh, it's easy if I went that way. Well, that's not the way God told you to go. I told you about the time I was driving home, wasn't speeding, but ever so gently, the Holy Ghost said, slow down, a deer is going to run across the road. And I slowed down because it was the Holy Ghost. I was thinking two things. One, I'm not exceeding the speed limit. And two, there are no deer around here. And as I was thinking that, a big deer ran from one yard across the road into another. If I hadn't have slowed down, he would have been all on inside my car. Now, I mean, this was a big deer. It wouldn't have hit the bumper. He'd have flipped over and came through the windshield. Because even though you're not speeding, but if you're doing 25 miles an hour and you hit a deer, it's going to do some damage. But God, he told me. Now, if I ignored it, does that mean that the grace of God wasn't with me? No, it means the grace of God was with me and I ignored that grace. And that's not something that I want to do, and that's not something that you want to do either. Amen? The other, what I want to share with you is in Galatians 5, I want you to go there. But it just goes to what I was just telling you about how God doesn't lift his grace, but we can be doing things that we want grace to do. Galatians 5, verses 4 and 6 in the Message Bible says, I suspect you would never intend this, but this is what happens. When you attempt to live by your own religious plans and projects, you are cut off from Christ. You fall out of grace. See, by doing it your way, you fall out of grace. And you have to learn it's not your way, it's his way. And we have to be willing to make whatever adjustments that we need to make because it's God. And we want what God wants. And look at Romans 12. We've read this a lot. I'm going to share it in the Message Bible. But there there's some things in here I just want to point out to let you know that God's grace has to be with us, because I'm going to list these things that he expects us to do. And since he expects us to do them all of the time, and we can't do him unless his grace is with us, then his grace must be with us all of the time. I'm going to start somewhere around verse 6, because in the Message Bible, they don't give you, every line doesn't have a verse number. It says, so since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. Okay, just be who you are, amen, who God created you to be. He graced you to do that. Okay. I'm not graced to be you, and you're not graced to be me. One of our pastor friends, you know, he does a question of the month that he just sends out there. And this one, most of them I can't answer because I just don't experience that. And this one I don't either. He wanted to know, have you ever compared yourself to another pastor? If you did, what was the results? Well, I've never done that. You know, I don't compare myself to anyone. When I was an athlete, I didn't go and say, you know, I'm Wilt Chamberlain. No. I would watch the things that they do. Yeah, I would watch the skill, but I didn't compare myself to them. So I can't answer. I'm not one to answer that question. And I don't want any of you, don't compare yourself. Even the Bible doesn't tell you to imitate your pastors. It says imitate their faith. That's what it says. Imitate their faith. So that's what you want to imitate, my faith. Don't imitate me, because I'll let you down. Amen. But my faith will never let you down. Amen. So just go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we are not. If you preach, just preach God's message. Amen. Nothing else. If you help, you're a volunteer, just come and volunteer. That's it. Don't come with an agenda. Just come and volunteer. Don't take over. You came to help, not to take over. Okay. If you teach, stick to teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. We need God's grace to do these things, folks. We can't do them on our own. Love from the center of who you are. Amen. Don't fake it. Amen. Love from the center of who you are. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Practice playing second fiddle. Okay. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert, servants of the master, cheerfully expectant. What about this one? Don't quit in hard times. Amen. Pray all the harder. Yes, amen. Okay. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Amen. Folks, we need God's grace to do these things. Okay. Now listen to this group. Tell me whether or not you need God's grace to do these things. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Okay. Bless your. That's like you don't go in to give your enemies something. Say, well, I have to give them something. No cursing under your breath. Get along with each other. Amen. Don't be stuck up. Amen. Okay. This is a toughie for me. Don't hit back. Okay. It says, discover beauty in everyone. Amen. Get along with everybody. Amen. Get along with everybody. That's one area where your grace comes under fire. Amen. Because people sometimes do things and I'll say unknowingly push your buttons. Amen. Amen. Well, here's a question for you to ask yourself. Number one, you know there's a button that if it gets pushed, you're going to respond in a certain way. Why not disconnect it? Amen. So when they push it, nothing happens. Amen. But we can go one step deeper. The Bible says we are dead. Yes, amen. And our bodies are hidden in Christ with God. So since we are dead, even if there are buttons, when they get pushed, a dead person doesn't respond. Amen. I mean, one of our vehicles, the one thing that Phyllis drives, if you push the button, the car starts. I got to turn the key like it's such a big deal. But if there's no power connected, it doesn't matter how many times he pushes that button. Nothing will happen. So why are we giving power to our buttons so that they get pushed and we act outside of who we are as believers? We have the grace to endure. Just because it's being attacked doesn't mean it's not there. Okay. Don't insist on getting even. God says it's not for you to do. He says he'll do the judging. If you see your enemy hungry, the Message Bible says go buy that person lunch. Didn't say just give him something to eat. He said go buy him lunch. Okay. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil, that means you have an option here. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. See, all these things are possible when we understand that we operate in the grace of God. And even though that grace comes under fire, it does not prevent us from still operating in it. It still works when it's under fire. Amen. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you in a few moments, it does something even more. See, just before Paul received the revelation from God that God's grace is sufficient, he was doing some reflecting. Because he was thinking about stuff he had gone through. And what's interesting is while he had gone through it, he didn't have any lasting effects from it. It never stopped him from doing what he was assigned by God to do. It never stopped him. The Bible doesn't talk about anyone looking at Paul and saying, this man was just beaten halfway to death. So there was nothing about Paul that you would think he had been through everything he had been through. But he said in the chapter preceding in 2 Corinthians 11, he said, I think I'm around at verse 23, We were talking about suffering for Christ. He says, are they Hebrew? Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? He said, I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prisons more frequently, in death often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. That means he received 39 stripes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Now, this is before he got the revelation that God's grace is sufficient. He's not realizing that God's grace has been sustaining him. He's aware of the grace of God, but he wasn't aware of it to this measure. He said, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I've been in the deep. That means he was stranded in the water for at least 24 hours. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils of city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, toil, sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and naked. Besides other things, what come upon me daily. That means all of this stuff was happening to him daily. And among all of that stuff, he still had this great concern for what's going on in the churches. Despite everything that was happening to him physically and mentally, any one of these things send people into counseling for years. Resulting then is no disrespect to our soldiers. My son is being honorably discharged from the military in January. But Paul was a great candidate for post-traumatic stress disorder. When you think about everything that he'd gone through, yet while he remembered these things happen, the Bible doesn't talk about him having a memory of going through them. And we need to think about that. Because if he had a memory of what it felt like going through them, he wouldn't have done it again. All they would have had to do was threaten to beat him with rods. And I'm telling you, I told you, I'm going to tell you again, and keep telling you, when you were beaten with rods, you were tied down, chest and face to the floor, and ropes to your body, so you were curved, so your legs and feet were up. And then they took the steel rods and pounded the bottom of your feet. Most folks, their legs shattered. They died from shock. He didn't. But he got up and wasn't deformed by it. Why? The grace of God. But he wasn't seeing the grace of God in that measure. He wasn't seeing it like that. When you were beaten with 39 stripes, most people didn't survive. They were dead by 20. From what? From the shock. Their hearts couldn't stand all of that pain. And it was a way that they controlled people. You were threatened with being striped, you towed the line. And I don't understand. I sometimes ask this question, I'm going to ask it tonight. How many of you have ever been spanked by your parents for doing something wrong? How many of you enjoyed it? Okay. How many have ever been spanked for the same thing more than once? Okay. Why? Okay. Did you not remember what the first one felt like? Naomi, once was enough. Okay. When, I'm telling you, when the Greeks beat you, you were beaten. And you remembered it. You think, yeah, this is when I stole. No. And someone try and get you to do something else? No. you may go into shock just thinking about it. That's how severely Paul was treated for the sake of the gospel. And these things were happening to him daily. He couldn't go anywhere without his life being on the line. Anywhere. I don't know how it feels to live like that. No, knowing that even a person walking alongside you saying they're your friend is subject to turn you in at any second. I don't know what it is to live like that. But he says that he lived like that daily. Daily. And as he was thinking about it, which I understand, that as he's thinking about it, he's like, God, enough of this. Deliver me from these people who are doing all these things to me. And three times, the Bible says he pleaded with God. And God said, my grace is sufficient. That's all God said. My grace is sufficient. Paul, knowing what he went through, going to God and God saying, my grace is sufficient, is telling Paul, you already have all that you need to go through it. And what I have given you will more than handle anything you go through. Because as I shared with you, that word sufficient is used to describe a person. The true definition says a man, I'll say a person, who has unlimited wealth. So much money, they could do anything they think of. There's more than enough wealth there so that they can get the job done. That's the way God's grace is. Whatever it is that God asks us to do, there is more than enough grace available to allow us to complete the task. More than enough. We don't even have to think about it. All we have to do is act on it. That's all we have to do. Because when grace comes under fire, something happens to it. And it's not that it bundles itself up and rolls away. But any one of those instances with Paul could have killed him at any time. Certainly, when you're stoned and left for dead, and I believe I told you this, they didn't take you to the edge of the city and stone you. They stoned you on the spot, and they drug your lifeless body out to the edge of the city and left it there for the animals to eat. When someone in our group asked a question, they said, well, how did they know the person was dead? They didn't have a surgeon come there and listen, no heartbeat, he's dead. No, they looked at you. They saw your head was crushed in and gray matter was oozing out. They figure you're dead. And they grab you and they just drag you, drop you, and go on about their business. Bible says, Paul, the apostles came, stood over Paul, and prayed, and Paul got up, and they all went into the next city and started preaching. I mean, God's grace increased. It just increased. So Paul said, when God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient, Paul said, hey, most gladly will I endure now, because I know when I'm weak, he's strong. The Bible says in Romans 5, it says, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounds, grace abounded much more. Say much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Message Bible says, when it's sin versus grace, grace wins hands down. That means it's no contest. All sin can do is threaten us with death. And that's the end of it. Grace, because God is putting everything together again through the Messiah, invites us into life, a life that goes on and on and on, world without end. We need to understand that, and we need to continue to operate in it. The Bible said that we're not under sin, we're under grace. We're ruled by grace. So it doesn't matter. You know, when attacks come, grace bears up, just rises up, thwarts the attack. Now, that doesn't mean you may not feel something. You will. It doesn't mean it may not hurt at that moment. It will. What it means is it won't stop you. And you will keep going, and you won't flinch every time you hear a big bang because you're going to have flashbacks about what happened to you. If we're allowing ourselves, folks, to get bent out of shape over things that happened in our past, we have not took the grace of God in and allowed it to do what it does. Because you can't function if you're remembering all this other stuff. You can't function. And the enemy will keep bringing it up and you'll be frozen in your tracks. The grace of God is there to free you from that, to just free you. So you just keep going. You just keep going. God knew stuff was going to happen to us. He knew we were going to encounter people who were going to do wrong and act ugly. He knew all of those things. He knew your husband was going to leave, or your wife was going to leave, or you were going to leave. He knew everything. And he gave us all the grace to deal with it and stay on track with his plan. I don't always feel like coming and standing up before you and giving the word. Sometimes I feel like staying home in my bed, pull the covers over my head, put earphones on and just not hear anything or anybody. I'm just being honest with you. But I just think, nope, it's God's grace. So, you know, all right, God, if your grace is there, I'm going to put one leg out. You know? And you just get up and it's like, okay, God, what am I supposed to do today? And you just go on and do it. You just go on and do it. It's funny. Because Sunday, the devil tried to tell me that I was supposed to be in Pennsylvania. So I come pulling up here about 10 o'clock. He's like, how are you going to get to Pennsylvania by 10:30? I'm like, I'm not supposed to be in Pennsylvania. I'm supposed to be in New York. And he said, see, Pastor Ed's car is not here because he usually comes a little after 10. Well, that's a lie. He normally comes here around 8:30, a quarter to 9. He's like, no, his car's not here yet because he didn't go to the village. He's going to be coming up here, and he's going to wonder why your car's here. I mean, all of this stuff is coming in. Why? Because I'm thinking about things and praying about things coming in, and the enemy's job is to distract me. But God's grace busts right through that. And I just started laughing. And I walk in, and sitting on my desk is the microphone and all of that, you know, just like it's supposed to. The microphone wasn't on Pastor Ed's desk. It was on mine because I was supposed to be here, you know. And he wakes up. I went to bed about 20 or 4 Sunday morning. And I got out of the bed about 8:30 Sunday morning and kept going until I finished my assignment. Then I went home and went to sleep. Well, I could sleep then because my assignment was over. I took God's grace keeps my blood pressure in the right place. I take, actually, you know, I mean, I'm taking less medicines in general now, and especially since some of the pounds were gone. It seems like as the pounds dropped, so did my blood pressure, and I don't have a problem with that at all. You know, where we just... When I say we, my doctor and I, we have to just have a conversation about dosage adjustments because I've done things on my own, prompted by the Holy Ghost, because God's grace is kicking in because I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. See, his grace was always there. But his grace is telling me simple thing like, don't stop and get two donuts from 7-Eleven on your way home. It's 10:30 at night. You don't need to do that. And I decide I'm stopping anyway. So it's been 3 days since the last donut. It's time for another one. But then I don't get another one. I get two. And sometimes they'll have a brownie there, and I don't know what to get, so I'll get two donuts and a brownie. And then get mad with the cleaners because they're shrinking your clothes. And get mad at the devil because your blood pressure is going up. And I've been noticing something. I'm saying, that's an interesting number. I get up in the morning and I see 112 over 74. Like, I'm not taking any medicine with numbers like that. I'd be crawling around on the floor because it'd have been too low. He said, what does it have to do with God's grace? It's sufficient. It's keeping me. But I have to cooperate with it. That's why the scripture says, don't frustrate God's grace. Don't frustrate it by resisting it or ignoring it altogether. Amen. Don't put it on the side so we can do what we want, because we really have to run away from the grace of God in order to do wrong. You just think about this. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So if we stay in the midst of God's grace and someone does something and we want to go off on them, we can't do it because we're in the grace of God. But we still want to do this, so what do we have to do? Make a conscious choice to step away from the grace of God and say what we want to say, and then like, oh, Father, I repent, and let me jump back in. Well, yeah, Bible says you can go to the throne of grace, but I've yet to find a scripture that guarantees we'll survive our little jaunt outside of the grace of God to run back in. So my attitude is, why chance it? I haven't met the person yet who's so important that I'm willing to leave the grace of God just to get even with. There is no one on this planet that important. But we need the grace of God active. The more active we allow the grace of God to be in our lives, the easier our lives will be. It's not going to stop things from happening. We have the grace of God because things are going to be happening. But the Bible says, when sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So my attitude is, bring it. Whatever it is, let it come. I'm not backing down. I'm not afraid. You know, whatever it is, God's grace can handle it. And it will not leave any lasting scars on me. It will not cause me to shrink back because I'm thinking what might happen. No, I know what's going to happen, what God said. That's what Paul understood. That's the message he was trying to get to the churches. One of the most powerful things someone can say to you is, grace be unto you. And the Paul used to start most of his letters like that. Grace and peace be unto you. But when someone bestows grace on you, that's like, yeah, buddy, thank you. And you just go on. I mean, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but that's why people don't give. That's why some people don't tithe. They're afraid they're not going to have what they need to pay bills. Even if they're not bills that God authorized, you know, even if you went out and you got something that you just wanted to get. Doesn't change anything. If you're willing to tithe, God's grace will keep you. Amen. Because you are in his will.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
If you don't, you're outside of his will.
Amen.
And it's like you've taken grace and tied it up so that it can't help you.
Amen.
But his grace is there to tell you, look, just believe what God said. So I don't have the faith for that. You have faith to believe that you're grace, that you have grace. And the only way you obtain the grace is through faith.
Amen.
Period. So we need to understand anything that God asks us to do, he's given us the grace to do it. I don't care what it is. And it has nothing to do with your individual knowledge. I didn't have any construction knowledge. I didn't know anything about designing rooms. Didn't know how to read blueprint. Didn't know what a blueprint was. I had seen papers called blueprints. It says drawn according to scale. What scale? The only scale I knew was the one that was on the fish or the one you stood on to see how much you weighed. That was it. I didn't know. See, that was another homonym. I didn't know what that... I didn't know. There was one definition I didn't know. All right? You could do a scale drawing. I thought that was you draw a picture of a scale. You know. But I found myself sitting in meetings with contractors using construction terms that I had never heard. Because I just trusted God knew what I knew when he put me in that position. He knew all of my experiences. So if he said, put me in that position, I must be able to do it. That's been my attitude, folks, about everything I've ever been asked to do here at the ministry. I never once thought, I'm not trained to do this. I've never done anything like this before. My only thought was, yes. Gregory, will you? Yes. Well, go pray about it. Don't have to. Why not? I haven't read anywhere in the Bible where God calls someone and they pray with the God to pray to him as to whether or not they should obey him. I mean, that's just the way I see things. If you believe that God gave you pastors after his own heart, then when a pastor asks you to do something, God's heart is speaking to you. So you have to go to God and say, God, should I obey your heart? I mean, that's the way I see it. So no matter what it is, I do it. And if I have never been in, I've never felt like I was in over my head. Because there are a lot of times I have said, God, your grace is sufficient for me. And you go on and do what it is you're supposed to do. And it doesn't matter about people either. Because people will tell you, bless their hearts. No, they mean well. They because they don't want to see you get hurt. So not only will they tell you you can't do it, they'll tell you don't know who you are. What am I mean? They say, you can't do that. Who do you think you are? Nobody's ever done that. Who do you think you are? I mean, they mean well. They don't want you to get hurt. But you need to know God's grace is sufficient, and don't let anybody tell you that you can't do anything that God told you to do.
Amen.
God's not impressed by or terrified by your age. He doesn't care. You can be 110. He'll tell you run the New York City Marathon. Tell you what to wear. I mean, that's what he'll do. And if he says it, go and sign up. What do you care what people say? No, come on, Mom. You know you can't do that. God said run. You run. You run. There are folks that they're afraid to drive at night. Why? This is my question. You know, why? Well, you can't tell me you can't see, because the Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So if God tells you to go to church, even if you couldn't see on your trip to and from church, your vision's going to be great. If God tells you. But you shouldn't be afraid just because someone said something might happen. Coming in this morning, I took a call that I normally would not take. Because when folks call a line and I see the name and it's not someone that I know, I let it go to voicemail and I send it to Minister Dolores and I have her follow up on the call. But this person called, and the reason I answered is I had placed a call to our ministry insurance carrier, and this person had the same first name, so I thought that's who it was. So I returned the call. No, it was a former Choice Is Yours listener who wanted prayer because they felt like they were being stalked. People were saying things to them, and I know I shouldn't be like that, but you know, this is what I'm going through, so I need help. I need prayer. I said, no, you don't. You need the understanding that God's grace is sufficient. And I preached God's grace to her for about 15 minutes, and she was shouting hallelujah on the phone. Okay. And then I did pray with her, but I prayed with her according to that she would develop an understanding of the grace of God and how it operates in her life, so she doesn't have to be afraid of anything or anybody. But she was bound up by fear. And some of us get bound up by fear because we don't see ourselves the way God sees us. We don't see ourselves bathed in his grace. We don't see grace as this force of God's power and God's influence and God's strength. And we have to start seeing that because that's what it is. That's what Paul saw. And that's why he was able to go. I mean, he took beatings and things after that. But none of those things moved him because he understood God's grace. He didn't just understand that God's grace is sufficient. He understood that even when things got tough, God's grace got tougher. And that's what I want you all to understand. Even when things get tough, God's grace gets tougher. Even when the problems seem to be big, God's grace gets bigger. Even when they seem to just be enormous, God's grace gets enormouser. A new word. And you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be troubled. All you have to do is stay in the will of God, and his grace will be sufficient for you. I'm done. I've been really, all the enemy did tonight for me was give me an opportunity to go through these things twice. Because each time you look at it, you see something a little different, something a little differently, and that's fine. But we just want everybody to understand God's grace is sufficient, especially when you're in the fire. Especially. I mean, the Bible doesn't mention grace when it talks about the three Hebrew boys. But God's grace was definitely upon them. Doesn't mention it when it talks about David. But God's grace was there. It was there. It was telling you, you can do this. You can do it. I mean, come on. You get thrown into a furnace heated 7 times hotter, a furnace that immediately incinerates the guards that are throwing you in. They get incinerated and you don't. 7 times hotter, 7 times more grace. Changed the whole attitude of the king, which changed the whole attitude of the kingdom. So when we're looking at things that are going on in this world today, if we do the things that we shared, I know I quit, but I reinstated. Okay. So I want to read some of these things again. When we just preach the message, God's message, nothing, and we just help people. We don't try and take over. We encourage and we give aid and we help those that can't help themselves and we love from the center of who we are without faking it. The world takes notice of that. When they see us being good friends, when they don't see us trying to be, you know, vying for the first position, we're content with being, with playing second fiddle. They take notice of that. And when they see us that we don't burn out, we just have this unlimited energy. They take notice of that. And when they see you feeding people who they know are out to hurt you, they take notice. And they get their hope from watching us operate in the grace of God. Folks, we can't take those things for granted any longer. So go in God's grace. And the grace of God be with you all. His grace, His force, His power, His place, His presence, His unmerited, undeserved, preferential treatment of all of us who believe and stay within His will. Will that grace be with you all tonight and forever? Amen. Amen. Amen.